Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's wonderful having you join me today for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about a topic that's really relevant for all of us. We're going to be exploring all about digestion, our gut, how it relates to our weight, our health, our moods. This is a really important topic, so stay tuned because I've got a great show in store. And before we go there, I wanted to let everyone know that I am coming back to New York City. I come back twice a year, and I'll be arriving to speak at the Natural Gourmet Institute on Sunday, November 23rd. So that's the Sunday right before Thanksgiving from 2 to 5 p.m. And this is a great class. I hope you come along because it is an opportunity for me to talk all about hormones. I'm going to be sharing all the profound understanding that I've been researching, giving you practical strategies, in a sense, lifting the veil of the illusion, how to really get our hormones back on track naturally. What's really going on behind all the many health challenges that women are facing? And we're going to have some practical hands-on experiences. I've got some wonderful gifts to give away to people. So this is a fabulous healing afternoon. And that will be at the Natural Gourmet Institute. You can check it out online at the Natural Gourmet Institute. You can give them an call at 212-645-5170. So that's 212-645-5170. Or send them an email at info@naturalgourmetinstitute.com. Hope to meet as many of you who live in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, metropolitan area. It'd be great to have some personal contact and say hi to all my listeners. And we'll have some fun, and I know that it will make a really big difference to your health, to your well-being. So come along and have some fun. So back to the gut. Let's talk about the gut. We're going to have a great exploration and help you really understand what's going on with your digestive health. Why do you kind of get bloated? What's all the fuss about regarding probiotics? And, well, lots of things. And today, to help us really delve into this subject, is my guest, who is Kathy Madonna Swift. She is the author of a new book out called The Swift Diet, Mend the Belly, Lose the Weight, and Get Rid of the Bloat. So how does that sound? And let me just share a little bit about Kathy with you. She is an author, educator, and clinical nutritionist, and is recognized as a dietitian who is making a difference. Kathy is an adjunct faculty member at Saybrook University School of Mind-Body Medicine and has been the education director for Food as Medicine, the nationally acclaimed professional training program sponsored by the Center for Mind-Body Medicine for over a decade. Kathy helped develop cutting-edge integrative and functional nutritional programs at Canyon Ranch in the Berkshires and Dr. Mark Hyman's Ultra Wellness Center, where she still practices today. Kathy is the co-author of The Inside Tract, Your Good Gut Guide, and her latest book is The Swift Diet, a step-by-step holistic approach to mend the belly and achieve healthy weight, integrating the latest research on the microbiome. So great topics. I love this topic myself. And it's a pleasure to welcome Kathy to the show. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great having you on the show. You've done such wonderful work. You really are a leader in the field with integrative medicine. It must be a really exciting time for you, as so many things are just blossoming in the realm of functional medicine. So you were right there at the beginning, huh?
Yes, I was. It really began a few decades ago for me. And interestingly, my on-ramp was that I was trying to manage an autoimmune condition. And interestingly, I learned that all roads led through the gastrointestinal tract. So it was a real discovery for me. And I pursued my continued exploration of this with a real passion. so that I could help others who may be managing both digestive disorders and certainly autoimmune conditions.
So, you know, it's so interesting, Kathy, because I also had severe issues with my gut. I didn't even realize it, but it really plagued me since I was a child. And it took me many, many decades to figure it out, as it tends to be. But it was such a big piece of my healing of many chronic illnesses, understanding the role of the gut. So what were you suffering with that brought your attention to the whole gut side of things?
Well, like many, many individuals, it's not just one thing. It's, in fact, we often say we're holistic in that we treat people with a whole list of problems. And truly, I had everything from various neurological symptoms to certainly digestive symptoms, headache, chronic fatigue. I, at the time, had two young children and had days where I couldn't even get out of bed. And I had a wonderful team of physicians. I was living in the UK at the time, and I just happened to really come across some research, and back then we didn't have Google or Wikipedia or such, but that perked my interest in exploring the possible connection between what I was eating, and here I was a nutritionist, and the health of my immune system, of my energy system, of my digestive system. So I began to see this interconnectedness. And again, my food was really my medicine, or could be, you know, my deepest trigger and insult. So that was the origins of this.
And, you know, it's become such a big problem for so many people. It's just like an exploding epidemic. And I guess, you know, we'll take a little time and explore and look at all the factors. But before we get into that part of it, I found reading the very beginning of your book where you describe what it takes to have healthy digestion and how that system works so enlightening. So I thought maybe we could start by just sharing with my listeners more about their digestive system, kind of give them a little introduction to their whole digestive tract, and starting with when we first feel hungry and what goes on, so we can kind of understand more this amazing system that we all have.
It is an amazing system. It is really the system that is intimate with the outside world, bringing the outside world within us. So when I think about digestion, the first thing we want to think about, we often think that digestion begins in the mouth, but it really begins in the mind, in the head. It's cephalic digestion, meaning from the Greek word in the head. So even when we think about food, when we use our senses, when we smell and take in the aromas of food, when we look at our food, that actually is igniting our digestive processes, and that's a good thing. So we need to capitalize on that and actually engage our senses in this process. When we take in food in the mouth, that's where the secretions in the mouth actually help begin to break down carbohydrates in our food. Even a little bit of fat digestion begins there. And then as the food journeys down the esophagus into the stomach, and this is really, really important, we need that stomach acid. That stomach acid, there's a very low pH in the stomach, and this is important because stomach acid is part of our defense against pathogens, bacteria, bad bacteria and viruses and things that may enter the body. It's also igniting the breakdown of the protein in our food. And many people are concerned about protein, and often they're getting enough protein in their diet, but they may have actually a lack of hydrochloric acid in these pepsin and other things in the stomach, because perhaps years of antacids and things like this. So we need that stomach acid. It's very, very important. And then, of course, we have the food being broken down and digested even further. The pancreas get involved. They produce a host of digestive enzymes. And then most of nutrient absorption, where we really get a lot of bang for our buck out of our food, occurs in the small intestine. And this is also a place where, and we can talk about this, where, you know, things can run amok and cause problems and such. And then, of course, you know, we have the large intestine and finally the elimination of our food. So it's a really fascinating and intricate process of taking food and transforming it, biotransforming it into the nutrients, the vital substances for life that do impact our mood and our energy and just the joy, really, that we get from our lives.
You know, the intestinal tract is so you know, unbelievably complex. There's so much that goes on that I don't think most of us ever realized, from having a major role to play in our immune system, to making our brain chemicals, to breaking down, absorbing, assimilating, and I'm sure there's, you know, just so much more that's going on. Can you help us understand what goes on in the small intestines and what goes on in the large intestines? I think that's really critical for us to understand, because we tend to just talk about the digestive tract as one big tube.
But right, and there's,
you know, yeah, go ahead. Different things go on in different places.
You bet. There's different functions. It's an amazing system with various functions occurring in different parts. And as I mentioned, in the small intestine, this is where there's a lot of nutrient absorption, where we're absorbing the vitamins and minerals from our food. And there, it has an interesting architecture. If we were to spread it out, it's really massive. It's about the size of a doubles tennis court. And there's also this carpet there. You can think of a shag carpet. And this is what does help absorb and grab nutrients so that we can utilize them. And interestingly, and then in the colon and throughout the gastrointestinal tract, and what's vitally important here, is the bacteria that reside along this beautiful chute, this tube that takes the outside world within. And most of the bacteria, and it's estimated maybe it's about 2 to 3 pounds, these populations of trillions of bacteria, what we refer to as our micro, meaning small, biota, life, small life that resides within us, is in the large intestine. And the presence of this, think about it as a garden or a rainforest. This microbial ecosystem, it serves us in many, many ways. And so again, this is where a large number of the bacteria reside. And think of it as a partnership. So basically, we give the bacteria a place to live, and they in turn help maintain the integrity of our digestive system. They help produce nutrients. They're busy bodies, or busy bugs, I should say. They protect us from invasive pathogens. So we're hopefully maintaining a balance of these bacteria. And they're cross-talking to our immune system. And interestingly, in the intestines, this is where the majority of our immune system resides. It is housed in the gut, and there's this constant crosstalk of our bacterial population, the microbiota, and our immune system. So they're talking about the food that's coming in. They're discerning it, the bugs are discerning, and the immune system, whether to go on high alert or whether that it is friendly to the body. So they're really influencing our health in so many ways, impacting, you know, our cholesterol and our energy. And certainly, I think, really, and what, you know, I've, you know, have been studying and observing in my own patients over the years is this connection between body weight. And as we know, we have a, you know, obesity epidemic in this country, and the link between body weight and the gut microbiota, very, very fascinating, and something that we can definitely talk about further.
Well, let's get into that. Well, before we do, I just want to clarify. So the small intestine is where most of your absorption of your nutrients takes place. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And most of the microbiome is existing in the large intestine, the colon.
Yes. Yes.
So
if you look at, you know, numbers of the bacteria, and there's charts, and obviously there's a number of research projects that are, you know, now being undertaken to dig deeper into this. And I'm sure we're going to learn more about the different species and such. But yes, if most of the bacteria, and again, there's bacteria in our mouths, in our, a little bit in the stomach and such. So there is bacteria along the way, but most of it residing in the large intestine.
So what happens when people have a diagnosis of this small intestinal bacterial overgrowth? This has become a popular term, SIBO, I think it's known as, you know, it's an acronym. What's that about?
Okay, well, three patients that I talked with today all had the diagnosis of SIBO, S-I-B-O, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And there's many different things to think about, so I'm just going to keep it simple. Basically, it is the movement of bacteria from the colon into the small intestine where they can proliferate. So bad bacteria is moving up into the small intestine and really taking a foothold there, and it can result in symptoms of gas, pain, bloating, and such. And usually it's diagnosed with various breath tests. And there's a lot of, you know, scientific debate and exploration going on. How do we, is diagnosing it? What are the limitations there? What's the best way to treat it? Many clinicians are treating it with antibiotics.
Right.
Others, as the patients I worked with this morning, they're trialing an herbal approach to that herbs that contain antimicrobial compounds. So, but I think what we really want to think about are all the different factors that are contributing not to just the rise in diagnosis like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, but this digestive epidemic as a whole, irritable bowel syndrome, reflux, or GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, gluten-related disorders. I think we want to step back and really try to understand what is contributing to this rise in these conditions within the gut and the conditions outside the gut, like autoimmune disorders, that are linked. And because, of course, as we mentioned, because most of our immune system is housed in the digestive tract. So, and I think there is a recipe for this perfect storm that we need to think about no matter what the diagnosis is, whether it's SIBO, whether it's irritable bowel, inflammatory bowel. We need to evaluate these things in our lifestyle story that could be contributing, and then work on these things that are most meaningful and pertinent to the individual. And I'll just give you some examples. Of course, the first thing that we want to really think about is our diet. As Hippocrates said, let thy food be thy medicine be thy food. And if you, there's a wonderful book that shows pictures of tables around the world. It's called What the World Eats by Peter Menzel. And if you take a look at the all-American kitchen table in this photo, it's very hard to find any real whole food. And I'll explore why this is so important. So number one, our processed food diet that is lacking in an essential substance critical for gut health, and that is the age-old substance we've heard about from probably our mothers or maybe our grandparents, and that is fiber. But the average American still is definitely shortchanging themselves on fiber. And fiber is the nourishment for our gut microbes, our gut garden. It's very, very important. So that, I think, is number one, something we can all think about. And we can talk about certainly where we get fiber and the nuances around that. But I just want to outline these factors because there's actually good consensus about this. And I think that's important because many people are confused about nutrition. So I like to really emphasize where the bliss spot of consensus with respect to these factors are. So number one, this what we sometimes call the SAD, Standard American Diet, or MAD, Modern American Diet, with the tsunami of processed foods and sugars and refined grains, grain products and such. The second thing is our supersized, stressful lives. And this, interestingly, there's a number of studies that clearly show us, and that's why I started with cephalic digestion, because we often eat when we're rushing and we have no rhythm or alignment with our day. And this actually causes, we'll go back to that digestive tract, the gut to become leaky or more porous. Think about a fishing net that's really been ripped. And what happens there is then undigested food particles, unfriendly compounds from our environment, pathogens, are more likely to leak through and incite and irritate and assault our immune system and our health. So interestingly, there's also been a number of studies that really show this over-adrenal output and how that actually changes our microbiota. The microbiota, in turn, alert the immune system. It goes in overdrive. The other thing that happens are chemicals, these neurotransmitters, chemicals that influence our mood and such, are altered. Things like serotonin, our kind of good mood chemical, or GABA, our calming chemical. So supersized stress is another factor in this recipe for the perfect storm. The other things are ultra clean hygiene, our quest for being really too clean. Many studies have shown that if we have an animal or if we live on a farm or if we play in the dirt more and if we don't use these, hand sanitizers with chemicals like triclosan and things, that, we're far better off. So we actually need to, as a colleague of mine says, get dirty but eat clean as best you can. The other factor is the over-prescription of antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, antacids. This, too, is deteriorating the harmony of our gut microbiota. And I already mentioned the connection with the importance of hydrochloric acid in the stomach. The next factor is something I think we all may want to think about, and that's even sleep deprivation. This misalignment with circadian rhythms and another stress on our body. And this is an area that's fascinating to me. The first paper I ever wrote on nutrition in the 70s was on circadian rhythms. And now we're exploring the fact that we have clock genes. We have a number of gut hormones that really have a rhythm, you know, and so paying attention even to our sleep-wake cycle and what is the rhythm of our day. A couple other things I'll mention that play into this are infections. Infections caused by bacteria, viruses, and such, this can, you know, these need to be tended to in the best way possible. And then the other factor is, in fact, on the patients I worked with this morning, I always explore early life history. Even how we were born can make a difference in our health long term. And we're certainly finding that a C-section baby may have more problems with allergies and things like this down the road versus the baby that has the opportunity to go through the vaginal birth canal and receives mom's inoculation of bacteria versus the, you know, the C-section situation. So you know, and obviously we can't change that. So we will focus on the things that we can change. And then another fascinating area is the loss of biodiversity and climate change and how this is impacting how our planetary health is also influencing our internal ecosystem. And, of course, fortunately, we have good people working on that. In fact, the World Allergy Organization has really looked at this because of the rise in food allergies and intolerances, not just here in the U.S., but globally. So all those factors are really influencing what's going on with this. And the good news is, you bet, we can, you know, work on our diet and on our stress, the way we're living our lives, on our hygiene, and thinking about more judicious use of medications, whether prescribed or over-the-counter. We can do yoga nidra or, you know, whatever, remove some of the digital, do a digital detox in the evening so that we're getting better sleep and such. So a lot of positive things we can do that will help restore the integrity of the gut and the harmony of our gut bacteria.
You know, what's so fascinating about what you were sharing is that we think, if we think at all, about the microorganisms that live in our digestive tract, we just think of these little organisms that live there. But in fact, they're very dynamic, they're changing, they're altering species. I don't know what the latest estimation is, but I once heard that there are about 2,000 different species. It's probably even more than that. So we have these many, many species of organisms, and they are dynamic. They're always changing, and depending on what we're thinking and eating and sleeping and exposed to, we either are supporting the strains that are life-enhancing or supporting strains that are causing trouble within us. And it's like, you know, like anything else, we are responding to our environment, and the more we make positive changes, the more we're affecting the health of our microbiome, which is just so critical for our survival.
Yes, it is. And it's wonderful that they are dynamic. And what they have found is that, you know, our diet makes such a big difference, and it can change within a day or two. And I think that's really important to stress with your listeners, that the next meal I eat, the next meal you consume, is an opportunity to change your health, to influence your gut bacteria, because yes, they will respond, and it's wonderful. And really, why, you know, in the Swift Diet, I outline what I really hope for my readers is a realistic, it's really a lifestyle holistic plan to begin the journey of improving our digestive health, which is, you know, I always call the gastrointestinal tract our highway to health or our pathway to pathology and problems. And so I outlined this program that I call MENS, and for, you know, restoring the integrity of the gut. And
Kathy, let's just hold it there because we need to take a break. And then
okay.
When we come back, you can describe your approach. You can talk about your MENS program and give us some more of your great tips and insights and wisdom. Okay? So
excellent.
We need to take a little break here. I hope everyone is getting really fascinated by their digestive tract. And we have a lot more of really great insight and solutions for you. So stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we're going to be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are having a really delightful conversation with Kathy Swift. She is the author of her latest book, The Swift Diet, 4 Weeks to Mend the Belly, Lose the Weight, and Get Rid of the Bloat. So lots to learn from Kathy. And Kathy, you've been doing such a good job helping to explain our digestive system and the all the exciting things that go on within us. And you were about to share with us some of the principles of your approach and what you call your MENS program. So can you share with us what you are exploring, writing about, how you're guiding your patients, your audiences as you lecture, your reading audience? You know, this is really your passion, your purpose. So I'm really curious to learn more about what you actually are putting together in your program.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, the MENS is an acronym that, and I'll go through each piece of it. The M stands, so that's M-E-N-D-S, and I'll just walk your listeners through this, because I really, how I created this is over the years I sat down and thought about, well, where do we begin? How do we begin to restore the integrity, the resiliency of our digestive tract, which influences our health, as we've learned, in so many different ways? And I begin with the M is for minding our digestion. And the focus here is really on how we are eating. What kind of eater are we? And so the goal is to introduce mindful eating practices, mindful living skills into our life that will promote good digestion. In fact, we could actually walk through one right now. For example, before we eat a meal, I would encourage you to just take a moment and take 3 relaxing breaths. Engage your senses, because that will stimulate the digestive secretions. Think about your food. Look at your food. See if you can take in the aromas of your food. And then when we put food in our mouth, chewing it thoroughly so that the enzymes and the growth factors and everything in the saliva can really begin to break down the nutrients in our food. And then to integrate a pause while we're eating by taking a break, resting our hands in our lap, and breathing again. So really, the minding our digestion is about becoming a more mindful eater, eating with awareness, a consciousness about the foods that we are eating. I also like to explore, as a part of this, our pattern of eating. And that's become important with regard to digestive health. We're finding that there is this cleansing wave of the gut. It's called the migrating motor complex. And we talked a little bit earlier about SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And interestingly, we really do want to explore what we sometimes call a rest and digest pattern of eating. This may suit our digestive system best, meaning that, remember that age-old advice that our mothers may have given us, or grandparents, eating three meals a day? Well, allowing some space, some sacred space between meals, actually may be much better for us. Now, there's always individual guidelines that we need to think about. Some people may do well on a more mini meal pattern, but for the most part, to even experiment with the practice of mindful eating, experiment with a pattern of eating that is allowing for some sacred space between meals. There's even some research on some of the changes that have occurred in the human diet that are contributing to this rise in inflammatory bowel and irritable bowel and such. And one of them noted is that we're grazing through the day, you know, where we've become a nation of snackers. So it's something to think about. So the next part of the men's program, the E stands for eliminating, or what I like to say, kind of weeding out potential dietary insults to our digestive system. And I term these in the Swift Diet micro-menaces, items that may be disturbing and creating an imbalance in our gut bacteria. And this has been well researched. And not surprisingly, it's the tsunami of sugar, refined carbohydrates that do disrupt the gut bacteria and contribute to what we call dysbiosis, basically an imbalance of gut bacteria. So that's often maybe one of the first things to think about. What is the sugar and refined grain product load in my diet? Another factor are excess fatty animal foods, fatty cuts of meats from animals that, you know, haven't been raised right. Also, mass-produced vegetable oils that really do not offer us great nutrient density. Another factor may be, for many, gluten-containing grains, in wheat, rye, barley. For some, these can be contributing to gut dysfunction. Lactose in dairy products might be another factor. Fructose, of course, I think we've all embraced the fact that high fructose corn syrup is not friendly to our gut. And interestingly, we're also learning that there's this whole category of carbohydrates for some of us that they're called FODMAP, that ferment readily and may contribute to some gut dysfunction. And I'll just give you an example. Actually, the lactose in dairy products and these chains of fructose in wheat are, in my years of practice, been two of the most problematic. And there can be some other factors, you know, such as other foods that may be triggering our immune system in a hyper-responsive way. And so what we really want to do here, and what I've outlined in the Swift Diet, is a experimentation with this phase of weeding out many of these things for at least 2 weeks. So you can, it's like you're playing dietary detective to uncover the foods that may be aggravating. And it's, you know, with some journaling, it's pretty amazing what our body will tell us with this experiment. And the next part of it, the N is nourish. I mentioned weeding out. Well, now it's time to seed, to bring in, and we do this really in partnership, this men's program. We're working on these things all together, and basically we're bringing in the foods that support the healthy microbiota, what I refer to as micro-menders. And the key qualities are, I've already mentioned, but number one, foods that do afford us fiber. Fiber is this beautiful nourishment for our gut microbes. Foods that are rich in micronutrients. Micronutrients simply means vitamins and minerals. So for every calorie that we're taking in, is it rich in micronutrients? And plant nutrients, these phytonutrients and antioxidants to help protect our cells. And not surprisingly, we want to think of this beautiful plate, and I've outlined a plate, and you'll see that half of it is dominated by vegetables. It's really a plant-centric plate, vegetables and fruits, and certainly fibers that actually help the gut, the microbiome. They interact with the microbiome, and these are foods, the ones that have been best studied to feed our bacterial population, are things like legumes and fruits like apples and vegetables like asparagus and such. So really, really whole foods, real foods, providing these nutrients. And then the D part of the men's program has to do with determining if dietary supplements can support the healing process. And I outlined some dietary supplements that I've used in my many years of practice that I have found most helpful. Digestive enzymes, probiotics. The prescription is really going to be different for everyone, so I tried to provide really the best information on how one can determine which supplements might be best. But I encourage all your listeners to, you know, find a partnership with someone who is credentialed in nutrition that can help personalize this for you. And we can talk a little bit, I'll give you a few probiotic pearls that have been really evidenced in the literature recently. And then the S is really kind of its bookends on the men's program, back to the M, but it stands for sustaining lifestyle practices that are going to support harmony in the digestive tract, because we have a nervous system there. It's called the enteric nervous system. It's our brain in the belly. If all your listeners right now, what I would love them to do is just take their hand and place it on their belly and just rub the belly a little bit. Rub the belly. In Asian medicine, they would rub the belly and say, "I know." In fact, 2 out of my 3 patients this morning said to me, "I need to pay attention, better attention to my gut instincts." And you bet. So whether it's a breathing technique or meditation, prayer, yoga, qigong, being in nature, music, for one of my patients this morning, she is going to bring some joy into her life by signing up for a dance class. And so whatever it is, all of these things to not only feed your good gut bacteria, but to feed and nourish your spirit and your soul, this is truly, it's about nourishment. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the studies on stress in the gut and this belly, this brain in the belly and this nervous system are very, very impressive. So I look at this men's very holistically. It's not just about the food. It's also about how are we digesting our life.
Well, it's such a big story because our thoughts, our emotions, what we are physically exposed to, the foods, they all are affecting our gut microbiome. I mean, you know, we are all connected. It goes back to that great truth. We are all connected. It does matter. Everything matters. We support our gut biome, and it affects our emotional state. It affects our weight. It affects everything. So you had some pearls about some of the latest insight with probiotics, I think you were going to say. What are they? What are those?
Yes.
Pearls?
Well, the first thing I'd like to mention in stress is that with regard to probiotics, which are live microorganisms, that when we take them in adequate amounts, they'll confer a health benefit to us. But if we back up a little, there's actually prebiotics. And a prebiotic is really the nourishment. It's the food for our gut bacteria. These are the fibers that interact with our gut garden and result in, you know, specific changes that are to our benefit. So they too, and these are some of the foods I mentioned previously, these prebiotic foods, like whether it's asparagus, vegetables, garlic, onions, artichokes, greens, jicama, fruits like apples and kiwi, and even grains like oats and legumes and almonds. So this is really, really important. We need the prebiotics, and then we can get probiotic-rich foods. Some of the most familiar certainly are things like yogurt. Remember when buttermilk was once very popular? There's now kefirs, which are beverages with, again, live active cultures. We can get probiotic rich foods, for example, there's been a renaissance, interestingly, of these fermented foods that really do power up our good gut bacteria. By eating fermented foods, we're getting a fresh shipment of bacteria that passes through the gastrointestinal tract, and it enhances the diversity of our gut microbes during this kind of one-way transit, so helping our resident bugs do a better job. So whether it's sauerkraut or carrots that are fermented or beets, it's really, you know, any vegetable can be fermented. We certainly are familiar with, you know, kimchi. There's fermented soybean products, miso soup, tempeh. There's fermented, certainly we can ferment grains and beans. And if some of your listeners are new to this, they might even want to explore in their market something like a product with fermented vegetables and or a pickle. Remember the pickles that are really truly fermented? You'll see the clouds of bacteria in the liquid. And I took some fermenting food classes, and there's a wonderful book. One of my heroes in fermentation is Sandor Katz, who wrote a wonderful book, The Art of Fermentation. So both prebiotics, the fiber that feeds the gut flora, and those probiotic-rich foods, these fermented foods, really, really, really helpful. And something as simple as even, you know, raw apple cider vinegar, and you could start with that and add a little to maybe your own salsa. So I like to say start with the familiar and expand, and this is really food is medicine. If we're
jump in there? I've always wanted to know, and I'd like your thoughts on it. So when you eat the fermented foods as such, are those microorganisms able to survive the stomach acid and make it into the gut? And are they just passing through? Or are they recolonizing? What's going on when you eat fermented foods?
Yes. Well, they are. They are able to, colonize in the gut. It's transient. It's temporary, and that's why I mentioned. You know, you want to continue to get a fresh shipment. So they will pass through and they'll interact with our resident bacteria. And just like if we were taking, you know, probiotics is a dietary supplement in capsules or powders, a general rule, interestingly, the latest in from probiotic research, at least from my reading and understanding and talking with colleagues in this area, and including microbiologists and scientists, the general rule is that even probiotic supplements are best consumed with food. Your gastric pH is actually lower when fasting, so there would be more degradation. So I think fermented foods, it makes a lot of sense, and certainly how much and how, this has to be, I want it to be something that one would enjoy. So I just encourage people to, again, start with the familiar and go slow and gradually increase. It doesn't have to be a lot.
And I just want to jump in because I have found a little device. You probably have heard of it, Kathy, called the Perfect Pickler.
Yes.
So the Perfect Pickler is this really inexpensive. You can buy it online. It's a little, it comes with like a mason jar if you want, or you can just go for the lid, which has like a little distillation tube. And you can just make your own fermented anything in this little process in 4 days. And all you need are the vegetables and some water and a little salt. And in 4 days, in this Perfect Pickler, it transforms into a fermented vegetable. That's fabulous. That is so delicious.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. I didn't know if I could mention brands or such. So beautiful. It is wonderful. And it's fun. And it's a way to kind of even clean out our crisper, our produce, and even getting sal items. So from an economic standpoint, fermenting our food has so many. It has health benefits. It has economic benefits. So, yes, I love the Perfect Pickler.
Yeah,
really, really
yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Device. So
Kathy, we're just coming to the end of our conversation. Is there a last thought you would like to leave with my audience?
Oh, gosh. Well, the last thought, yes, for all your listeners is, I think, experiment, explore. This is the N equals one. Engage in, even if you start with one or two things for a month or two, it's amazing. That, and it might be for some looking at the sugar load. For others, it might be trying to increase the fiber. It might be experimenting with the fermented foods. So invest in your self-care by exploring some of these practices that we've talked about today.
And
it will make a difference.
And I want to be sure to have everyone go and visit your website, which is Kathy, and I just want to spell it so people get to the right place. It's Kathie, KathySwift.com. And if they go and visit your website, I know you have lots of great information there. They can pick up your fantastic new book, which is called The Swift Diet, 4 Weeks to Mend the Belly, Lose the Weight, and Get Rid of the Bloat. And Kathy, I just wish you all the best on your new book and the great work you're doing and helping to heal the gut. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, I so appreciate it, and thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure for all of us to have you share your wisdom with us today. So take care, and again, all the best with the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you.
And to
Bye-bye.
All my listeners, thank you for listening in, learning, growing, healing. The gut in Chinese medicine is the key to health. So if we don't have a healthy gut, there is no way we can process our food, process our emotions, process our intuition, It is really a key that we need to start looking after. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. And I hope to see you in New York, November 23rd, at my class at the Natural Gourmet Institute. Come along. We're going to have a blast. See you soon. Bye.